This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen?
I'll be glad in it.
Yeah, we will be glad in it. We know that the enemy is a liar because that's his typical thing with me. He always trying to get into our stuff. You know, and he's been doing this. But, you know, we know that greater we see there is in us, that he there is in the world, right?
Amen.
And, you know, I have never missed a meeting on account of, I don't care how many breakdowns I had, how many accidents and so on that I had. You know, been on the road for 46 years, you know, that's, you know. Anyway, Dottie's not here but she sends her love. And her greetings. She had a little mishap there with her heart, or whatever, a miscount or something. Her heart went to 230 beats a minute. You know, you're talking about praying.
Amen.
We were praying. And we know that there was a liar. So she had a catheter that went from here, they went from this way this time. And doctor told her to take it easy, not to travel or anything for a while, so she stayed home. But she had a plan that her cousin will be here, her first cousin and second cousin, that will be here today, so we welcome them. Introduce yourself, first of all. Nancy?
Nancy Hughes and my mom, Catherine Ferguson.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
And they live in what?
I live in Dublin. And Dublin.
Dublin.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So we welcome you, that's for sure, you know. And sorry, Daddy's not here, but I'm here, so. amen. And anyway, I came from a real busy schedule, but, you know, I was thinking about the early days with you guys, you know, the early days. I met Brother Ed Wilcox. I met him in the 70s. And he was at that time speaking at a full gospel businessman meetings. And at the same time, I was doing the same thing. I was speaking anywhere from 70 or so meetings a year, you know, for the full gospel businessman meetings. And there's something happening. You know how brothers, when they meet, you know, the Spirit of the Lord goes from bosom to bosom. And something just clicked with us, you know, with one another. And then when he started the church, he started real humble. Didn't have money to pay for, but he gave, always gave. He was one guy that always, you and you too, you know, always gave. And then the church, of course, you know, they built the church. You remember? Nice. And there were times, you know, where we had some dynamic revivals in that place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that was, sometimes there was no room for people. We had to get chairs out. And,
okay.
You know, so, but to see the church continue, even though he's gone, he's praising with, you know, he's dancing around the throne.
Amen.
You know, praising God. You know, I'm sure that one day we're going to be with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for, you know, it tells us in Job that I know my Redeemer liveth and I will see him face to face.
Yeah.
That's one thing that we're going to do, and we're going to see each other there. And we're going to know each other. That's one nice thing about it, that we're going to know each other. And then we can talk about me stepping on you and and having just a great time and with all the family. Anyway, I'm not going to keep you very long. Preacher says I can preach as long as I want.
Oh, yeah.
But the lights go off around 12. So.
They go off for me at 11:30. So I don't
know. We're going to have dinner afterwards, huh?
Yes, we are.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm looking forward to that. I came on empty.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a great time. And the folks, you folks, you know, downstairs, this, we're going to, oh, okay, well, praise the Lord, I see the light. Sometimes, you know, you think you're reaching everybody in a different way, and everybody is telling you how great of a speaker you are. Well, this guy didn't say that at all. Listen to his letter. I just finished your book, Too Mean to Die. I am an inmate at the West Tennessee State Prison or Penitentiary. I wish that I could tell you that your message touched me, but it did not. Now, that takes away the wind out of your sails, doesn't it?
Sure does.
But you seem tired, just like even now. You know, I just come from a real long trip. You know, it started last month, and that was about 3,000 miles ago. And it started in South Carolina, and Columbia, South Carolina. Then I had to go to Irmo, South Carolina. Then I had Atlanta, Georgia, and from Atlanta back to Seneca, South Carolina, then to Michigan, and now here, you know. And it's been going like this. I probably have seen anywhere from 16 to 20,000 prisoners or so in prison and in churches, you know. But think about this. Every soul that is touched, because I am one of your missionaries, you have a part of it.
Amen.
Now, don't think of yourselves being small in group. I ministered to churches of 4,000, 5,000, one, and I honestly go and preach to one person too, you know. So don't think of yourselves being small, because you're reaching and seeing a lot of souls set free. And you are doing great things for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Anyway, this guy says, well, you seem tired. Yeah, if you speak three or four times a day sometimes in the prison, you're going to get tired. He says, but I could tell that you have a passion for the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But your book, your story has raised emotions in me to the point of tears. I can tell that your conversion is real, for it didn't happen overnight. For years, I lived on the impression that I was saved. You see, a lot of people, as they go to church on a regular basis, on Wednesdays and Sundays, and don't eat meat on Wednesdays and Fridays, you know, and they fast, they think, you know, well, I thought if you give enough money to the priest and someone who's going to pray extra for you, you're going to get to heaven.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, I'm a Christian. That is not a Christian,
amen,
is it?
Yeah.
You know, for the Lord says, if I abide in ye and ye abide in me, ask anything in my name and it shall be done. You know, if we confess him before others, you know, he shall confess it. Okay. So he says, I was under the impression that I was saved, but I still continue going on to jail for crimes that I always due to addiction to crack cocaine. I can't tell how many times I bow my head and I repeated the sinner's prayer. And then when I was told to write down in my Bible the day that it was the day that I was saved. But once I was released from jail, I will continue to do the same lifestyle of addiction. The part of your story that brought tears to my eyes was the letters. The love letters. How many of you read my book?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I brought some with me. The chapter 10 is the love letters between Dottie and I while I was in prison. Okay. And for those of you who don't understand what happened to me, here I am in prison in Mansfield, Ohio. There's 1,800 inmates in the chapel. Okay. And that's the first time in my life, or in the life of that prison, since it was built. It was built during the Civil War. Never did they have any outsiders come inside to share Christmas carols or to have fellowship in that chapel. That was the first time, February of 1972, or December of 1972, is when she came to sing Christmas carols with her church. And as soon as she stood up, now I want you to know something. I hated school teachers. I really did. If you read my book, you'll know why. I had a big problem with school teachers. The second thing is I did not like people from Parma, Ohio. You know how it is. It's different neighborhoods and the uppity, you know, the kind that spray their garbage with Lysol before they can throw it out, you know, so it can smell good, you know. We come from the uppity class, man, you know. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
I understand.
Yeah. You know, the kind that shake your hand and look at your shoes to see if they come from Kmart. or they come from the good, and that looks like they came from the Goodwill, brother. Do you want to see if you're worth a handshake or not?
Yep.
So, the first thing she stands up and says, "I'm a school teacher from Parma, Ohio." And the Lord says, "She's going to be your wife." I mean, right there and there, the Lord just spoke to me, "She's going to be your wife." And I thought to myself, I belittled myself. You know, you forget that, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power. But see, but this was just learning how to become a Christian.
Yeah. Right.
Okay? I was just learning how. And I thought to myself, how can someone like that with a master's degree, a bachelor's degree, a 10-year, touch somebody like me? I haven't finished high school. Really, I have not finished high school, educational-wise. I haven't finished grade school. You know, if you don't believe that, that's seriously. And I'm thinking to myself, she has a master's degree, a bachelor's degree, and I have got a meat cleaver degree, a breast knuckle degree, you know, dissect your car degree. How can someone like that fall in love with me and me, you know? But we've been married 43 years, and I thank and I praise God for that. But the love letters, he says, I can tell, and let's get back to the letter. The part of your life story that brought tears into my eyes was the love letters that was being passed to one another. It is the love that I always wanted and the love that I always prayed for all my life, but I have never found it. I just don't know how to love. And if a person cannot love, then how can a person receive love? I burst into tears of envy of the love that I was reading in your letters to Dottie. And I felt the love that Dottie was writing you, to you. You have shown me love by faith. You have shown in your letters, in your daily walk, you by faith, you shared in your letters and in your daily walk. I am 48 years old. I have been arrested 40 different times. And each time I will crawl back, just like a dog, back to the vomit. Then on May the 22nd, I received for the first time in my life, Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Why do I say for the first time? I have a love in me that I don't understand. I have a feeling of a real presence inside of me. I don't have the same feeling of shame that I once was carried, that I once carried. There is a peaceful spirit that has replaced those feelings of shame. That's what the Lord does. Isn't there something? Anyway, he goes on. It's never too late. It's never too late. Amen. You have by your faith shown me that Jesus is real. It was meant for me to be here in prison, to be able to find Jesus, the real Jesus, and to show a different of understanding of faith. That's what it's all about. And he says, your true faith and your you live the faith and you walk the walk. My faith has been made real to me, and that explains the peaceful feeling that I have. Okay? And then he goes on and gives great accolades to me and makes me feel kind of important. I just thank and praise God that we're able to give. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, how educated or uneducated you are. The Lord, you know, when he says, I will put in you, you know, at that moment, the Holy Spirit brings in you.
That's right.
What you need that very moment.
That's right.
I have relied on him always, you know, for all these years that I've, you know, how we have a daughter right now. Dottie and I, we have a daughter. I don't know how I would relate to come and say, Dad, I just fell in love with this convict that I met in prison. But man, talking to him is like, and she has pins on her from here all the way down to perfect attendance in church. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
and, you know, Sunday school attendance and so on. I asked her one day, I says, what is one of the worst things you've ever done in your life? You know, I wanted to know something dirty about her life, just in case, you know, she ever throws it in my face, I can throw it in her face, something too, you know. So I asked her one day, I says, Daddy, what is some one of the worst things you've ever done in your life? And she says, I stuck my tongue out of my dad one time. What a bad person. I stuck my tongue out of my dad one time. I said to myself, wow. People like that exist in this world. Yeah. They do.
They do.
Believe it or not, they do. I'm sitting out there almost an hour, and I guarantee you over 3 or 4 dozen of people stopped. And I know, well, not 3 or 4 thousand, but dozens of people stopped and asked me if I need help. I never met people like this.
That's good.
So you see, the thing is, when you focus on good things, you'll find out that there's more real ones than there is phony ones.
Good.
Dead. Now, of course, Grandpa Dornick, Benjamin Dornick, he was the spokesman of the clan or the house. And she says to him, Dad, Granddad, what do you think? You know, we don't know where this guy's going to end up. You know, he's going to end up either being sent back to Greece, you know, as a despicable person, as a menace to society. You know, we don't know what is going to happen to him, but Granddad, you know, talking to him is like talking to Moses or somebody. I mean, he lives the Bible. He talks the Bible. He breathes the Bible. He says, he can't shut up and talking about the Lord. You know, that's all he talks about, you know. And he's in love with me, and I have feelings for him. What do you think, Granddad? Mm-hmm. And I believe this is the words that he said. We raised you for 23 years of your life. You have not given us any to doubt your decisions. He says, and we're not going to start now. And that's what it was all about. See, I went to a Christian family. I went to a family that loved. So you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about this family. I'm talking about her dad. Her, you know, and your granddad, you know, and my granddad, because that's... I am thankful. So next to my salvation, the greatest thing ever did is God gave me Dottie while I was in prison. And I still say that. She's the air that I breathe. And I mean that. Now there's times that I feel like, Lord, just blink. And then but I handle my things a little bit different. I handle my trials just a little bit different than I used to. You know, now as a Christian, I know better. Amen?
Amen.
So, when you love your wife, two heads are better than one, believe it or not. Turn your Bibles, if you have one, to Daniel chapter 6. I just want to share what God has put in my heart this morning. The title of this message is, Our God is Able.
Amen.
Say it with me.
Our God is able.
Now say it personally, my God.
He
is able. He is able. Amen? Amen. Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you anoint these words. Anoint my tongue, anoint my heart and my thoughts, that they be food. And Lord, when we leave here, spiritual food, that when we leave here, this place, we can see is good when brethren dwell together in unity. We be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which shall be over the whole kingdom. And over this 120, 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them. He might accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now let's just stop here for just a second. Here's Daniel. He is in his 80s. Okay, he has already served This is the third king that he's serving from the time of captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar, okay? Cyrus and Darius, okay? And then he's an old man. But yet, as an old man, the reason he was set over the whole kingdom, now we're talking about a captive, a slave, a conquered people, here he is now second man in command of the whole known world. Not just Greece and Turkey and Rome and England and, I mean, India and all those, Africa and all that, the whole known world at the time. And here's a slave or an ex-conquered person, second man in command, like the vice president that we have here today. The kingdom was set up just like we have here today. 50 states, we have 50 little kingdoms, and they all give accounts to the White House. Okay? They have to give accounts to the White House. Well, the same thing is going on here. Here is this king. He has 120 princes and governors giving to what's going on to these three presidents. And out of these three presidents, Daniel was preferred to be the one that they talk to or give account to. Why? Because an excellent spirit was within him. That's the part that I want to talk about. The Word of God says he was preferred above this 122 because an excellent spirit was in him. And I thought about that. Wow. King Nebuchadnezzar saw that in him. Cyrus saw that in him. Even though he was a slave, even though he was a captive person, he still honored those that were ahead of him. Or those that were the head of him. Okay? Sometimes we don't like that. We don't like who's the head. But he did it because, you know, God, no matter who you like or dislike, look at this. God is using today everyone, some high people to fulfill his prophecies. Think about it. I've seen the prophecies of the Lord being fulfilled right before my eyes, including from the White House. Including from the White House. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I'm a whosoever. You know what I mean? I'm a whosoever. But the thing is, if God can use the White House to fulfill the prophecies that we see today. And why there is the prophecies that we see today? We see people going to and fro. I mean, I've never seen so much stupidity going on in this world as I've seen here today. Going on today. Ungodliness, unthankful, unholy. You know, you see the spirit of hatred, the spirit of getting even, you know, where people are teaching their little kids how to become killers, killers in schools and stuff like that, teaching them how to hate. And yet the gender, I was in Florida the other day. I was in Florida one day, you know, and I'm preaching. And of course, you know, they always like to take the speaker to a real fine place to eat, you know, the 5-star and 6-star, 15-star. Restaurants and lounges. And of course, you know, I like food and I like any kind of food, you know. Like I told you, I'm on a seafood diet. You know that. She knows that. So I had to go wash my hands and I'm going into the men's restroom and two ladies are coming out. So I walked outside and I read. Yeah. I want to make sure I was walking in the right place. So I thought maybe they made a mistake. So I go in a little further. There's two more of the ladies in there. And I'm thinking, and the Lord put it in my heart, see, gender. They don't understand sometimes.
Yeah.
What's going on? I don't understand. Today I feel like Nick. Tomorrow I feel like Nicole. Come on now. What's going on? What craziness is stupidity going on?
Yeah, that's right. Perversion to the
mind. Of the mind. I'm thankful. I'm holy. And then by their spirits, I mean, these ladies, they looked at us like, what you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And if you say anything,
right,
you go to jail.
Yeah.
You go to jail. Daddy and I are in Canada. We're walking along, and this guy comes to and serenades. I thought he was serenading the ladies that I'm with. He was serenading me.
Uh-oh.
and Daddy looks at me. He says, no, he's serenading you. He ain't serenading us. I said, what's going on? Lord, unthankful, unholy, disobedient, don't know where we stand. It's coming, and it's coming real quick. We see this. What kind of spirit do we have, though? What kind of spirit do they see? Even my dog knows what kind of spirit. Isn't it funny that even dogs know what kind of spirit a person has? They know that. You know, being married 43 years, Dottie looked at me before I left this last trip to South Carolina, and she only did that two times since I've been with her. This is the second time. She says, Nicholas, and I looked up and I said, she says, honey, you're a good man. Why did she say that? Not that I'm patting myself in the back now. We need to hear that. I mean, a good spirit needs to hear that, you know. And you're making that spirit to become even better.
Yeah, that's good.
You're making that spirit to even become better. She says, honey, you are a good man. I like that so much that I want to be even better. And not just to her, but whoever sees that, you know, if we can tell you're a Christian, we can see that in your heart. We can see the way you walk, the way you talk. You know, I'm not where I used to be, but thank and I praise God I ain't where I am.
Yeah.
But where I used to be, I am so thankful I'm not where I used to be.
That's good.
You know? Why? Because that's the kind of spirit that flows in me now. Christ's spirit in me.
Amen.
You know, they can see Christ in us. And listen, my mistakes don't last very long. My getting even doesn't hold very long. You know why? Because I know how to get on my knees, or spiritually or physically, to say, strengthen me.
Yes.
You know, Lord, strengthen me.
Yes.
What kind of spirit does he have? He was preferred because an excellent spirit was within him. Is this my water?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's look. You would have think that everybody that works with him would be pleased. Just like we have here today. House fights among each other. Will not be able to stand.
Amen?
Amen? And here's people that are looking to find accusations against the president or the good man, because the spirit of the Lord. You know, my grandkids come home one day and they said to me, Papu, that's what they call me, Papu. He says, we like coming over to your house. I say, why? He says, because you become one of us. That's sure enough. When they come around the house, I want to be nuts, just like them. You know, having a great time.
Yeah.
Enjoying myself, you know. He says, you don't cuss or hit us like the other one. I said, well, you know, they can tell. I said, even if a dog can do that, can you imagine what a human being does? Because, and especially we Christians, it goes from bosom to bosom, doesn't it? That's the spirit of the Lord. And says, hey, I'm your brother. Sister, I'm your sister. Doesn't matter how smart I am, how rich I am, how poor I am, is a brother and sister because of an excellent spirit within us. Normally you quit, you say at 10, 11:30? 12?
Whatever you want.
Okay.
You're fine.
Then verse 4 says, that this president, they sought to find an accusation against Daniel concerning the kingdom, for they could not find an accusation, no fault in him. Isn't that funny? They cannot find no fault in him. That means he was living his life kind of like a good man, a real man.
Yeah, yeah.
They could not find an accusation against him. So now they can't find that against him getting sly. You know, I never met a policeman in Chicago I couldn't pay right on the spot. In Cleveland, Ohio, there was always the envelope spoke before you went to court. You have a big enough envelope or a fat enough envelope? He talked.
Yeah.
And also he talked about if you're going to get the job or not done or whatever, you know, it needs to be done. Money talks. And a lot of people says, dead men don't talk, but you got enough dead presidents in your pocket. You got, man, they talk loud and clear, you know,
right. Because
the love of money goes like that, okay? You never thought this was going to come out of the pulpit, did you? I feel like I'm home. That's why I'm talking to family right now.
Yeah.
I hope you understand this. I'm talking to family now. Thank you. God bless you. May the Lord restore back 100-fold. They want to find accusation and fault against this, but they could not find nothing in him. Then they were trying to find it over concerning his, the law of God. And of course, you know that the, back in those days, the kings thought, especially now King Nebuchadnezzar, he was like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Did you know that? His son was the same way. They were in the, like the pharaohs. You know, they were considered as gods. Nothing was allowed to be prayed for unless he okayed it. And if it was not okayed by him, it wasn't supposed to be done. So they worked on his emotions. Oh, King Darius, live forever. Let's make a new law. And the law is nobody prays unless, and then we kind of cast them into the lions then. You know the story very well as I do, because we are mature Christians. We know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. You ever seen pictures of Daniel in the lion's den? I mean, you see him chained up or tied up with rope or whatever like this, and his robes is on, and you see four or five lions around him. Maybe the most, four lions around him. It wasn't no four lions in there. If you read on into the chapter, because of the order of the king, those 120 princes, their families, and some were married, you know, three or four wives. Did you know that? Their families were cast into the lion's den. And before their bodies even hit the ground, it says the lions had mastery over them. That means the lions were in charge. Not just four or five lions. I mean, there were a lot of lions in there. You understand that? And they were kept for that purpose. So you got to put that back in as we share the story here. Because an excellent spirit was in him. A good spirit. Even the dogs, the animals know that kind of a spirit. You see in the movie called Grizzly Adams or whatever, you know, talking to the animals and so on, right? Is that the name of it? Grizzly Adams. I remember that being years ago on television, you know. And Grizzly Adams is talking to the wild animals and so on. I believe that they do sense that kind of a spirit, the spirit of the human being. And they accused him. And when they accused him to the king, because he signed that law that changes not, the king was so sore. That means he was angry with himself because he signed the death warrant of the man that was giving him advice. Think about this, what I'm saying. He signed the death warrant of his best friend, of his confidant.
Yeah.
Okay? And it says that he went into his chambers all night long. That the Bible says, you know, instead of him having a party all day long and have the go-go girls dancing for him, he didn't say that. He didn't have a big feast. All he did, he went into his bedroom trying to find a loophole of the law that he had just made that changes not, and began to pray to God for his friend. Now here's the other part that I want to put in here, is pray for one another. Sincerely pray. That's, don't pray, you know, little, it doesn't matter how much you pray, because my God can even understand the word ach, and can interpret the word all. He can interpret that. He understands your heart. He knows you're down sitting. He knows you're uprising. He knows your thoughts from afar off. Just by speaking a lot, praying a lot, long prayers don't availeth nothing if they don't come from the heart. But this man prayed all day long for his friend. But pray for one another. Please get what I'm getting to say here later. We need a lot. Prayer is like a lever. It moves God. You see, you're going to get not just one teaching out of this. There's a whole bunch of teachings out of this. See, prayer is like a lever. I found out that prayer is like a lever, and it moves God. And it moves people. I mean, I made it here just in time.
Yes.
Just in the nick of time.
Oh. Yeah.
Praise God. I'll talk to you afterwards. As the king, who? the guy that controlled the known world, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, human wise. Here he is, he's praying for a slave or a captive. Instead of saying, well, he's 80 years old, he lived a long enough life. He didn't say that. All he says is the God that he serves. But Daniel told him that the God he serves, even Nebuchadnezzar even heard that. Let's look at what Nebuchadnezzar said in the third chapter here, verse 15. His grandfather said this to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It says, now if he be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the kassah, all the music, and you fall down and you worship the image which I have made, then is well. Then it will be okay. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that can deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think the insurance that you have in the Lord.
Amen.
And who is he that can deliver you? We heard that many times lately. In the past they heard it. I'm the best. I can do this. No one else can do this for you. I'm the greatest, and so on. We heard that. And our ancestors have heard that many a times, if we know history. And this is exactly what Nebuchadnezzar, our King Darius, said. When he, early in the morning, time is getting away from me, Lord. Look at verse 20 in Daniel chapter 6. And when he came to the den early in the morning, he cried with a lamentable voice. Okay. Now let me share this with you. He goes, I see him with my visual eye. In my eyes, I see this man with bags underneath his eyes, had no sleep. I see him with his sandals on. I see him with his robe, feeling so bad about himself for what he'd done to his friend, knowing that those lions are going to tear him apart. And he says, with a lamentated voice, he began to, Daniel. All he saw was lions. He saw a pile of lions. And he did not see even a bone broken. He did not see any of the robes Daniel was wearing, the clothes. He didn't see no blood at all. And he said, Daniel, was your God, whom you serve continuously, read that part, not just on Wednesdays and Sundays, 24/7.
That's good. Amen. That's good.
Okay? Get this. Was your God, whom you serve continuously, was able to deliver you? Can you imagine this? As he saw, and as he's speaking, he saw a hand out of this big pile of lions, a hand coming up, waving to the king. Daniel, was this God whom you serve, was he able to deliver you? And old Daniel had came out of those lions. I imagine this. All night long, Daniel is sleeping on one of those lions. Just using him as a mattress. The other lion is laying on Daniel's chest. Just laying there, just keeping him warm. The other one is around him just you know how cats do all night long. The motor is running. The motor is running, keeping him warm. First electric blanket. You understand that? Daniel's sleeping. The king is in the chambers crying his heart out. Daniel is sleeping, cutting, as we say in the old days, we used to say cutting trees. Nothing to care about. Think about what I'm saying. All is well. When all is well in your heart, no storm can come against you. When you have the right kind of spirit within you, and you're walking upright with the Lord, nothing will come against you. We'll be able to conquer. Cannot conquer you. As long as you have that spirit of no fear, because the God has given us not the spirit of fear, again, but of sound mind and walking in victory instead of defeat. That's exactly what Daniel came through. O King Darius, live forever. Yes, the God whom I serve, send an angel and shut the mouths of those. I don't know what you're going through, and all of us are going through a lot of stuff sometimes. And we can be like this young man that I read his letter. Many a times he thought in his heart that he's being a Christian, but in his mind, in his clever mind, it was not being a Christian. It was being clever and not on Christ. We can be used of God, or we can be using God. Do you understand that?
Wow, yes.
Brothers and sisters, the reason I share all this is because our time is short.
Yes.
Never in the history before have we seen things being fulfilled right before our eyes. The floods, the fires that we see, the quakes that we see, the earthquakes that we see. Yes, they've been in from the beginning of time, but never like this. So we know, he says, when what? When we see the fig tree bloom, we should keep our eye upon the eastern sky and know that redemption draweth nigh. So with this, I'm just a siren, makes a noise for the Lord. Get ready.
Amen.
You know, my spiritual bags are packed.
Right on.
Really, they are. Yeah. They're packed. You know, so when I hear that trumpet, and I'm not going to meet the Lord like this.
Right.
I'm going to meet him like this.
Right.
You know,
amen.
I'm going to meet him like this.
Amen.
I like to hear him say, Nicholas, with what I have given you, you've done a pretty good job with it.
Right on.
And this is for me, it is my job also.
Yeah.
I feel compelled to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And only he can set the captive free.
Yeah. Amen.
Only you know where you stand with the Lord.
Okay.
Only you know. Give me a little tape in there, would you please? Our God whom we serve, he is able.
Amen.
He is able.
Amen.
And you know what I like about that? He says, and who shall be able to separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, shall height? That's what he tells us in Romans. Shall depth, shall angels, shall things present or things to come? Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he tells us that whosoever confesses, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's what I like. So with this, I pray to the Lord that I've done justice to what I want to share with you. Because sometimes thinking in one language, I still think in Greek and trying to speak in English, the words don't come out the way I want them to. And if I'm pushed for time, sometimes they all come out chopped up. So you got to be in the spirit to understand my heart and what the Lord is saying. And what the Lord is saying, what kind of spirit is in your heart? How big is your God? Is he real? I got to tell you when I lived on Russell Road in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm telling this for someone, I'm pretty sure, My mother told me, she says, you know, Nicholas, look at your car. Your car looks so filthy, so bad. You know why? Because my girlfriend's babushkas was, on the, you know, on, and some other things unmanageable were on the rear of my rearview mirror, tied on my, you know, falling all over the place. And my car just stank. Stank. Cigarettes, booze. I told you, this is why my mother had me parked 2 or 3 blocks away from the church. And I says to her, Mom, you know, I mean, Mom had a little limp. I can take you to the... No, 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 no. Walking is good for me. No, she just didn't want me to drop her off in front of the church. You understand? So one day she says to me, she says, Nicholas, do something good for your soul. Do something great for your... What do you want me to do? She says, you're a Christian. I says, yes, I am. I'm an altar boy. How can I not be a Christian? So she was saying, well, put something nice in your car. Put something, you know, so it can relate that you're a Christian. And down the street from me, a policeman, I never forget this, he had a little plastic Jesus on his dashboard of his car. It was about this big. And I wanted that Jesus. I thought it would be in my car. It would look, my mother would really be pleased to see Jesus in my car. You understand what I mean? I had to be about 13, 14 years old. At least. So I went to grab the Jesus from the dashboard. But he was pretty clever. He had a screw down from the bottom. You know what I mean? So as I grabbed the statue of Jesus, those two, you know those dogs they call demon dogs? What do you call them? Dobermans? Dobermans. Yeah. I mean, they were foaming at the mouth as they... That's when I became a Pentecostal, you know? Oh, God. But I still wanted Jesus. See, I wanted Jesus because my mother wanted to see me become a Christian. And when I ripped him off, the bottom didn't come with it. But I still like that statue, so I filled it up with bubblegum. I never forget this. Bazooka bubblegum. And I stuck them on my dashboard. Now I'm a Christian. But my problem was, every time I took off on my car, my Jesus fell down. And I had to pick him up and set him back up again. I guess what I'm trying to tell you, I've shown the world that I'm a Christian. Just like a lot of people do. They put crosses on their, you know, and they put things on their, they put bumper stickers all over. We got to be careful who we represent and how big he is. The Lord says, you are in the palm of my hand. That's what made me think of that statue. When the Lord says, you are in the palm of my hand, he wasn't in the palm of my hand. I'm in the palm of his hand. So my Jesus is not this big. He's unlimited, omnipresent. Unlimited, omnipresent. That's what he is. He's a great I am. Do you know him? Does he walk with you? Does he talk with you? Do you know him? Bow your heads, please. As a matter of fact, let's all stand.
Let mercy fall on me.
I never take it for granted when I speak that everybody knows him the way they should. So I want to ask you this morning, is there anyone in here this morning who say, Nicholas, pray for me today. Today I want to know him.
My God is mighty to save. He is
like I never knew him before. I want to surrender today for him. Would you please pray for me, Nick? And all I want to do is to see your eyes, all other eyes closed. By lifting up your eyes, would you say and pray for me? I need to change my ways. Would you do that? I knew you was going to do it because you look right through me, and I appreciate that. You're doing it from your heart. You know, if the whole service was just for you, it was well worth it. And I wonder how many in here this morning will say, I'm facing the lions. spiritual lines. They want to tear me apart. I have a storm coming against me, Brother Nick. I am a Christian, but I've got a storm coming against me. Would you please pray for me? God bless you for being honest. And you. God bless you for being honest. You need a change in my life. Would you please pray for me here? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to ask for those of you that just looked up. I want you to, it does not matter. But I'd like for you to take the first step forward. Come towards me. I want to grab your hand. And I'm going to say, God bless you for being honest. Are you here? She's your wife? Would you come too? You know, when you raise your hand, I want you to know something. Everything in heaven stops because you want to make Him your Lord and Savior. But everything in heaven stops. All the angels stop. You know what they're doing right now? They're looking at this church and saying, look at him. He's coming home where he belongs. Look at him. Him and his wife is going to live in peace again. Look at him. There's going to be joy in their house. Like the prodigal son, he came home. The prodigal son came home and says, Lord, be my Savior. Be my Lord. What's your name? What is it? Cliff. Cliff, you came here this morning because you wanted Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. Good. You want to surrender to Him? Then repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for paying my debt. You died on the cross. You rose from the dead that I may live. Forgive me of my past. And live in my house. In my temple. In my temple. I pray this in Jesus' name. Then I want you to take a look at your wife. What's your name?
Sherry.
Cliff says, Sherry.
Sherry.
I have sinned against God.
I have sinned against you.
And I have sinned against you.
I have sinned against you.
I ask God to forgive me.
I ask God to forgive me.
I ask for your forgiveness.
I ask for your forgiveness.
Would you? Sherry, look at him. God has given you to be.
God has given you to be.
My helpmate.
My helpmate.
I have sinned against God.
I have sinned against God.
I have sinned against you.
I have sinned against you.
I ask God to forgive me.
I ask God to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
Would you?
Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, as they one another, we ask not right now, as they're empty, that you fill them right now with the Holy Spirit. Anoint them, Father, we pray, and teach them from this day on forward, we pray. We are knowing that the angels in heaven are rejoicing because of Cliff coming home. And we know his wife is rejoicing to know that her husband is going to spend eternity with her. And then in the name of Jesus, he has that hope in him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. God give the glory. Give him the book. And Father, I just want to thank you. For he says, I am weak, but thou art strong. I am weak, but thou art strong, Lord. But we know the greater lives in me than he that lives in the world. And we shut the mouths of the lions right now. That you put a hedge around my brother right now. In the name of Jesus. And all the storms that are coming against him this very moment. That the lion's teeth will be just broken in the name of Jesus. Against what they're coming against. Lord, may he live this day out of this church victorious. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Say it with me, I walk in victory.
I walk in victory.
Not in defeat.
Not in defeat.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Satan.
Satan.
You are a liar.
You are a liar.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
I just did not know that I can do it before 12 o'clock. I did it. Praise the Lord. Read that book. You're going to enjoy it very much. And my address is in that newsletter. If you, oh, by the way, let me have one of my newsletters, would you? This newsletter, and I'd like for all of you to have one if you can. This newsletter, and I'm quitting with this. This newsletter, Dottie had a poem. She had a poem that I should have read, she says. I want you to read this poem. And when I read this poem, it put tears into my eyes. I'd like for you to read this poem, okay? You'll love it. I like this so much, I put it in the front page because I want all of you to have one. And think on it. That's a sermon all to itself. Amen? God bless you. Can I give this to you? Okay, you got one? Good. Okay, and you get one in the mail.
Come praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
God bless you, Nick. God bless the Word of God this morning. God bless our people. Praise the Lord. Cliff and Sherry. God bless Gene. Amen. Mighty God, He is. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to receive our love offering for our brother Nick this morning. If you're writing a check, make it out to Faith Christian Center. We will write one check for him. It's a lot easier on him and his ministry. Amen. And if you need an envelope, please raise your hand. We'll get you an envelope. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our God is what? Our God is what? He is able.
Our God is able.
Our God is able. And what is our God able to do? Exceedingly, abundantly, and above all we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And our God has empowered us to prosper. So that very empowerment to prosper, that prosperity that He has given us, causes Him to do exceedingly above anything you could ask. And that's how good He is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's outstanding. He is good all the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you're all set, we pray for his car. Praise God. Amen. It is fixed. Won't cost him a dime. Hallelujah. Because our God does something. He rebukes the devourer for our sin. Amen. Well, if you'll stand to your feet, we know the word says, if you sow, you shall reap. If we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. If we sow cheerfully, we reap cheerfully. So let's do a bountiful, cheerful reaping this morning. Amen. Father, we bless you and we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for Nick. We thank you for the ministry, Father, of Inside Out. We thank you, Father, for all the lives that he has touched, including ours today. We thank you for it, Father. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that every need that his ministry and Nick have will be met in Jesus' name. Let every bill be paid in full in Jesus' name. And I thank you that today's offering, love, will be more than enough to meet every need without exhausting any supply. We give you the glory and the honor for it, and all of God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All kinds of good stuff.